God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom a father chastiseth not? But he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, and ye are illegitimate, and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and when we gave them reference, shall not much rather be in objection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. May God bless his word. I was born in 1950. I was the only one in my family. But my mother's family, there was 11 in her family, and I was brought up closely with them. And the first time that ever I heard of God was at my grandmother's knee. I was playing the floor, and she was talking to her sister, and I heard her saying something about Christ returning. I must have only been about 4 years old at that time, and that troubled me. Something was going to happen I didn't understand. When I got mustering, just before I started school, we used to live in real cottages. It was right next to the roadside. And in those days, there were no cars. People walked back and forth. There was the tramps. There was every kind of person walking around, salesmen and all this. But one day, there was an old man came to the door. He wore a long black coat. And I can remember him talking to my mother. I wasn't paying much attention, but I can remember him telling my mother that one day, Christ would come with the sound of and the voice of the archangel. Now, I was only 5 years old, and that meant something to me because I'd already heard at my grandmother's knee that Christ was coming back. And even as young as I was, God was speaking to me. And I grew up, and I got in with all my friends at school, and we became wild. We were a gang, and I was the leader of the gang. They couldn't do without me. Whenever I was away, they were lost. So we went on, we got into trouble with the police, we tried everything. And I'm thankful for God today that we weren't born on this day, with the drugs and things it's about, but we would have been in them. But anyway, we got our hands in the drink. And we used to, whenever we could drink, we were away hiding and drinking the drink. And we grew up, and when I got to about 14 years of age, a friend of mine says to me one day, "Let's go somewhere." We walked out to Kirkconnell. We says, "What end of Kirkconnell would go, the south or the north?" So we went to the north side of the village and we started thumbing. We thumbed one way and then the other. We would have took a lift anywhere, but as it turned out, we got a lift to Kilmarnock, and my friend and I went into woods, and he stole a comb. I don't know what we were going to do with a comb, because we were, if anybody had seen us, we were nothing but a pair of tramps. But he stole the comb to get caught, and while the police was taken to the police station, he'd seen lifting the comb. So he gave the comb to me, wasn't it? He thought, search him, not me. But when we got to the police station, we were both in trouble. Police sent us home with us to be collected at Kirkconnell Police Station. We were taken in there and were questioned. When I got home, the trouble I had been in, by this time I must have been in court 15 times for different offences. And when I got in that house that night and saw the tears in my mother's eyes, something touched me in my heart. Went to bed that night and I lay down. And there was something within me that just couldn't stop getting into trouble. Doesn't matter how much I tried, I just get into trouble. I went took away in my mind, I'm not going to get in trouble, I'm not caring what my father's doing, I'm not getting into trouble. But it never, ever worked. So this night, I lay my head in the pillow, I started to think, and it was like a vision that came into my mind, and I seen 3 crosses, and at the bottom of the middle cross is a man dressed in white, and I knew that that man was going to be my son. Before he was on the cross, I knew that he was going to be my son, But after I seen him on the cross, he had my sin on him. And that troubled me. For 2 or 3 days I went to school and couldn't get this thing out of my mind. It came a Sunday, and I knew the gospel hall. I'd been there 2 or 3 times. As I say, I never came from a Christian family. And the Sunday came and it was absolutely pouring down the rain, and I decided I'm going to the gospel hall. I never had a coat to put on, but my father had an old railway coat, and when I put it on, it was dripping in the ground. But I had to go to this place, but there was something within me made me go to this place. And the question came over my mind, always was in my mind. I knew about Christ, I knew about everything, but I didn't know how to behave. That's what I was going to have to find out. How can I be saved? So I went that night, and the priest of the word, and the verse they preached was Acts chapter 10 verse 9. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that Christ died for you and God has raised him from the death, thou shalt be saved. The meeting ended that night, everybody walked out. I could move. Because I said within myself, this must be settled. And that had to be settled. So I sat behind, and I ended up on the floor, on my knees, asking God in my heart. When I left that gospel hall that night, I felt as if everything had been lifted off me. I walked all along the road, the rain had dried up, the sky was clear, and I looked at every star, how great God was. The two old women, my grandmother and her sister that I heard talking about as a youngster, they were the first two I had to tell that I'd been saved. And from that day, I went on. I never missed a meeting. I kept going to the meetings. I was out every day with trucks. And every day my friends would land at the door, Is John coming? I couldn't go. But they persisted. They couldn't be without their leader. But as it turns out, there came a time when we had to go and do our training for the mines at Dingable. And that involved being away from home for 3 months. It's now a prison. It was a prison then. When I got there, I couldn't get to meetings on a Sunday. And my friends were there with me. They had their leader back, and they had me trapped in this place. And without the meetings and of the God, I just went down. They got me back where they wanted, back to the drink. Here I was now, this is a shameful part of it all. So I went back to the drink, and that went on for years. I was into it. Everyone imagined. Whatever was there, I was into it. But through this time, God would always speak to me. And it was always in a hard way God would speak to me. It was always a hurtful way. And it seemed terrible at the time, but thank God, he was what he was now. When I got to about 24-year-old, I'd got married, 3 children, and at this, I actually come back to the Lord. I came back and I had a friend, the dearest friend I've ever knew in my life. He loved me as he played with my children. What he did, I did. We fit together, we did everything together. He came to the Lord, he was saved, and everything was going fine. And then we had a bit of problem with our marriage. And due to working circumstances at the time, I got taken away from the people of God again. And I tell you now, when you're separated from people of God, Satan's got you. He's got you, and you're weak without other people and without God. So anyway, away we went, back to the pubs and the clubs and all the rest of it. And when I was young, I was known as a bit of a hard man. I was into fighting the other week and all the rest of it. And I can tell you, stand here, no man had ever put me down in my life. But there was one night, just after we had left the Lord again, that we went to a club. We came out of that club, and this is the start of the troubles. 16 men jumped us. And they kicked us up and down the street. Can't do nothing against 16 men. But we didn't ever even stop to think of the thing at the time. And we went on. And the next thing that happened, my father, although he's not a Christian, he was very supportive. He always supported, he always believed. I feel that he believed in his heart. But he was going to his work one morning. he was a lorry driver, and the lorry drivers had been in strike, and he got up and he got ready for his, and he dropped dead in front of my eye, 43 years old. I tried to revive him, couldn't revive him. And at that time, I blame God. I says, God, how could you have done this to such an innocent man? He was a good man, my father, but I just didn't understand at the time. So, before my father died, and I had left the Lord, my father had actually got on to me. He says, son, you should never, ever leave it. That's where you belong. You should never believe it. But I was stubborn, and I was away, and I just followed my own ways. So anyway, my father had died, and I just went on. I was working. I still had my strength. And my friend was always there. He was very supportive. As I say, he was even loved ways. And we went on for years, and every Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday, it was the pub. Because if you get drunk in the Friday night, the guilt came in the Saturday morning. But if you went to the pub on the Saturday morning and get drunk again, the guilt was away. So you kept the drink going for as long as you could afford it. So it went on, it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday drinking. We were in the pub one night, and a big fight broke. The whole pub was in an uproar. And my friend was with me. And there's been a simple chap there. He wasn't quite right, but he was on the committee's club. And he came over and said something to my friend. And the first time I'd ever noticed this, even though through the drink and everything, he started to cut and swear at the man. And this cut me like a knife into my heart to hear these words come out of his mouth. And I says to him at the time, I says, Davey, I says, you should never use the words. I says, we belong to the Lord. I says, we are where we are. I says, but we belong to the Lord. I could still feel him working. He never left me. He was always cutting into my heart or something. And I says, Davey, the words should never have come out of my mouth. But through that, we were never separated. It was every Friday, Saturday and Sunday. But through this incident, swearing at this man, he was banned from the club that day. This was the first time we had been separated. Because the next against week, I was, he's nowhere there, I'm no going. He was in Berkshire. Came home from his work early that night and went to a different pub by himself. I got up in the morning to the news that my friend was dead. He'd been to the pub and got into a fight. I wasn't there to support him or help him. He went home in this drunken state and fell down the stairs and was sitting in his own vomit. And this struck me, something told me, you're not doing something right. This was another one, and this was God's voice again. I didn't realise at the time, and I hated it. So anyway, so after that, we actually moved to Auger. I got a job as a water bailiff. We moved down there, and I'd actually been away from the pub for a wee while. My wife got saved during this time. She was at the meetings of Kirkconnell, and I actually stayed away from the pub for a wee while. And when we went down to Auger, the gamekeepers and different people down there started coming around me, and they encouraged me back to the pub. It was whenever I had time, I was in there drinking with them. The thing I would never do was drink live. It was just, that was out. Because I had a heavy goods license, and this was my backup support. If anything happened, I could go and get a job anywhere. I always needed drivers. And I depended a wee bit on this, and I said, sir, I didn't know what idea. I can get my strength, I can look after myself. Well, I didn't have my strength for long because I started to get bad at that time. An old back injury I got in the coal mines. My strength left me. And one night, I'd actually got an operation foot and I had a plaster on my leg. And I wasn't able to walk to the pub. I said, I'll take the car. It was a chap and his wife doing staying was at the time. I took the car. Nobody's intention of driving the car back. I said, I'll leave it in the car back and I'll walk back. Because the drink at that time will no feel the pain. But anyways, the night went on and the drink got the better of everybody. I was ready to go home, but my friend was wanting to run this young lady home and asked me for my car keys. I says, I kind of gave him my car keys because he was wanting this young lady home and his wife was sitting in my house. If I'd landed in the house and she'd asked where he was, I says, I'll drive the car. I jumped in the car that night. got about 400 or 500 yards along the road and over a bank, and the 3 years was nearly dead in the car. That was the night God spoke to me. That was the night my mind went back to everything. I says, my father's death just wasn't a normal thing. I says, David's death just wasn't a normal thing. I says, and deep within my heart that I knew Christ as my Saviour, and I was doing these things to him. So this really got to me at that time. I used to do it at nights with a dog, and I used to walk up on the road and look into the stars, and I used to think about God, and how can I ever come back? When we actually started going to meeting in Dumfries, then through our health and that, we come back to Sanka, and we lived in Sanka, and people started again coming in the house, a wee bit drink and all the rest of it. And I actually seen the downward spiral coming again. In fact, I just didn't care what way to turn. Every time I looked to God, something came along and took me away from him again. So anyway, for some reason, we got the present house we're in now, Hitsuhide Sanka. It was away from everything. Went down there and everything was peaceful. In fact, we never got any visitors. We were just left alone. And this quiet time gave me time to think. And there was never a day went by would think of God. There was never an hour or 10 minutes went by God would come into my mind. Jesus would come into my mind. I said at that point, 11 years ago, I says, God, whenever you speak to me, whatever you ask of me, I'm going to do it, and I will do it. If anybody ever asked me to go to a gospel meeting, I would never refuse. If anybody asked me to do anything, go anywhere, any meeting, I would never refuse. I promise God that whatever I ask him to do, I'll do it. But I was putting a challenge to God at the same time. I was saying, God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And I know that was right. But the funny thing is, God did do it. I kept going for almost 10 years. I would read my Bible. I would watch these programs on television when they were preachers. I would go on the internet. I would look for Christian websites. For the past 11 years, this is my whole life, nothing. The drink was finished. Everything in this world was, as far as I was concerned, everything was. But I had a problem. My family was still there. None of them was interested. And I couldn't see any way around this. I prayed and I prayed. And then suddenly, I think we went into a bookshop in Dumfries and Betty picked up a book. She started to get a wee bit interested in reading these books. And the next thing I heard, my son James, he had watched the film The Passion of Christ. He phoned me up the next morning and he says, Dad, something wrong with me. He said, I don't know what it is. James actually professed faith when he was a child in Sunday school. And he never had an easy life either. I watched the troubles in his life. But seemingly this had touched James, and Betty was there at the thing. And I'm saying to myself, is this challenge I put to God, is this him responding to it? I did it the wrong way. As far as I was concerned, I done it the wrong way. God, you help me. I'll help you. But anyway, that's how we come up here. I'd been going to, we never missed him, Kirkconnell. I went to the gospel meetings and everyone was going there whenever I was invited. And that's how I'm up here tonight, because I promised God I will never, ever refuse what you say. And I know the cost if I had to refuse what he said. I know the cost if I went to that pub across here tonight. There was a night when we lived in Sanka. We had some friends come up to England and they asked us about the club. This time, I wasn't into booze and weekends at this time. This was a sociable night out. We come up to New Cumnock and went to a club across the road. And we went home. I went to bed and there was a chat door at 1:30 in the morning. And I hear voices talking, but I was kind of away with a drink, but I heard these voices talking. And I heard somebody saying something about your son, but I just couldn't think. And the next thing, the door opened, and Betty came in, and she says, Jesus had a car accident. I tell you, God spoke again. And I say to myself, what will it be the next one? If I continue with this life, what will it take for next? And that's how I feel now, that I must be obedient to God. And when Stuart says about testing me, I never even prepared for it. I didn't even think I'd be able to come up here tonight. But when I sat up the other night, I remembered that promise. God, whatever you ask, I'm willing to do it. And from now on, that's the way I feel. Whatever he asks, whether it's easy, hard, or anything. This is how I read this part in the Bible. What I see through my life is chastisement to God. And to lose loved ones is a terrible thing. But I can honestly say, when I look back now and know that it was the voice of God, and it was His love that did these things to bring our attention to Him, it doesn't seem as bad, even though it was by the time, it doesn't seem as bad. But the only thing I can say is, whenever you're discouraged, look for another Christian. Find somebody else, and if you need that to help, always look for somebody else, because Satan gets you away. If he gets you off guard and gets you by yourself and away from the Word of God and away from the people of God, then he's got you. I'm thankful for the people here coming up. The love you have showed us and kindness, it's really touched our whole family. And I thank you for listening to me. And that's a bit for now. As I say, it'll likely forgo me, or it's what I've said, like, I wasn't prepared. So I hope it's okay.